Romans 16:25, now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Father, we thank you as we continue in Romans, and we thank you in advance for the enlightenment that comes as we read and believe your word. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Last week, Acts 28:28 is where we left off. We'll go back to Acts 28:28. We'll pick up at Acts 28:23. Well, let's start at verse 20, Acts 28:20. Well, let me change that. Let me go back to verse 28:16. Acts 28:16. And when he came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you, and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We receive neither letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing, ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing, ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now we're dealing with the salvation of God sent to the Gentiles. The Holy Spirit closes out the book of Acts 28:28. With him preaching the kingdom of God and the things that pertain or concern the Lord Jesus Christ, and the salvation of God being sent to the Gentiles. And one of the viewpoints is that this is when, by the salvation being sent to the Gentiles, this is when the body of Christ officially begins, because this is the salvation of God being sent to the Gentiles. Last week I proposed to you that it's not the beginning of something. It's not the beginning of something new, but rather the end of something. And what I think the scriptures would support is that the end, what I think it is the end of, it is the end of the Holy Spirit's witness to those unbelieving Jews. And I'm going to go through and we'll see why I say that for your consideration. When we open up the book of Acts, you notice in Acts chapter 1, when the disciples are empowered with the Holy Ghost. Back in Acts chapter 1, this is what Luke records. In Acts chapter 1, let's start at verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So the apostles were waiting for the Holy Spirit. They're waiting for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that they might be witnesses. The Holy Spirit is going to witness of the resurrection through the apostles all throughout the book of Acts. And they're going to the sequence, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. As they're going forth, they're going to the Jews only. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost comes upon them, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Now, before we go to the next verses, the question is, why were these Jews, devout Jews, why were they dwelling in every nation under heaven? Anybody recall that?
Well, they had been scattered.
They had been scattered because of their idolatry, because of their breaking of the covenant. They had been taken into captivity by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. And that was prophesied in Deuteronomy, that they would be taken by a nation that, and I'm paraphrasing this, by a nation that was speaking another language. And I'm saying that they were going to be taken by a nation that spoke in another tongue. For the Jews, being a sign people, God got their attention by signs and wonders. The signs and wonders, they denoted two things: either the presence of a deliverance or the presence of a judgment. So when they saw these things, you can go back to Exodus. Go back to Exodus real quick here. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And you know that account. We don't have to go into all the details of that. But down to verse 8. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it out upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And we know the when we go through Exodus, all those plagues were signs and wonders that were a judgment to the Egyptians, but it was a sign for the nation of their deliverance. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34, verse 10. Exodus 34, verse 10. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, and he starts to talk about their defeat of the nations that were in the land that they were going to. Okay, I said that to say this. God starts off with the nation with signs and wonders and miracles and their deliverance. He goes out of Egypt showing the signs and wonders and miracles. And to possess the land, he still continues the covenant of the signs, wonders, and the miracles. Then when the nation sees these things, it's a witness to them. It's evidence to them. It's proof to them that God is either among them, working with them, or a judgment has happened to them. And tongues is no different. So when you go back to Acts, the reason the nation was scattered was because of their disobedience. And it was a witness, the Assyrian and the Babylonians coming in was a witness to them of the judgment of God. And it was accompanied by men of another language. In Acts 2, the same scenario comes up where you have tongues being a witness. And here what we see in Acts 2, back to Acts 2, verse 20, Acts 2, verse 11. They heard these men speaking their own languages. Verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others, mocking, said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. That's 9 o'clock in the morning, Jerusalem time. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And we know the rest about the preaching that they presented. But what we want is the signs, the tongues, were a witness of two things: the great and notable day of the Lord and the offer of salvation being presented. So it was a sign of the judgment of God or the deliverance of God. One of the two, whichever category the hearer would respond to. If the hearer responded positively, then he would be saved. If the hearer responded negatively, then it would be a judgment on him for his unbelief, and he would suffer the wrath and judgment of God. So again, these are accompanied by the signs, miracles, and wonders. So you go through the book of Acts, and this is what you see: the Holy Ghost witnessing all these signs and wonders. They are, Acts chapter 5, they are presenting to Israel this. Acts chapter 5, verse 28. After the apostles have preached and taught in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus, the leadership pulled them to the side, and they said this in Acts 5, 28, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." So here are the apostles again proclaiming the witness of Jesus Christ and offering to the Jews at Jerusalem repentance. Change your mind, change your heart, because we know you did it through ignorance. But we're giving you the opportunity to rectify that wrong. We're giving you the opportunity to reconsider your decision. And this is accompanied with signs, miracles, and wonders, and the witness of the apostles, and the witness of the Holy Ghost. And this is what you see all the way up to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. You know, Stephen was a man they picked out. He was, the scripture said in Acts chapter 6, he was full of the Holy Ghost. Well, Acts chapter 6, before we look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. The apostles were preaching and teaching. There was a dispute among those believers in dealing out the daily ministration. So they, verse 3, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas the proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. In Acts, the Holy Ghost is singling out this man for a reason. He was the first one that the people chose and the Holy Ghost gave witness to. In verse 10, and Stephen, as he's preaching, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." This is in Jerusalem. What is the response so far of the leadership to the witness of the Holy Ghost. Is it positive or is it negative?
Blasphemous.
So that's a negative. They are not responding positively. The offer of repentance, they are rejecting it. They're showing them that their mind has not changed. Here's a man full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and the Jews said, "We don't want to hear you. We don't want to hear what you have to say. We don't want to hear your witness." So they were saying to them, "We don't want to hear what the Holy Ghost has to say," right?
Yeah.
No, for us, if a man or a woman comes to you with scripture and says to you, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding in all things," and you say to that man or that woman, "I don't want to hear that," you very well could be opposing yourself, because you are not rejecting that person. You're rejecting the word. It's your responsibility, if you say you're a believer, and more specifically, if you say that you're a Berean believer, it's your responsibility, your duty even, to do what?
To consider and then study the scriptures to see if it's so.
To receive it right with a ready mind, and to search those scriptures daily to see whether those things be so. Perry had a lesson, I don't know if you guys listened to that last week, or it might have been week before last, where he said that most people would rather fight than switch. Well, I'll say that most people would rather fight than search.
Yeah.
So they, nonetheless, switching, they would rather fight than search. We don't want to be in that group where we rather fight than search, or fight than switch. We want to consider what the scriptures say, and we have to believe that the Lord would give us understanding in all things if we consider, and specifically, what Paul says. That's just a little side note. So in Acts 6, we see that Stephen, he gives his Holy Ghost-inspired witness. And really, it is the Holy Ghost. So when Stephen is speaking, it's the Holy Ghost speaking. In Acts 7, verse 51, after they've accused him of blaspheme against Moses, Acts 7, verse 51, he gives them a whole discourse of their history. Ye stiff-necked, 7:51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This leads us to, what was the Lord's response to Stephen's prayer? Did he hear that? Did he hear and honor Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, praying to the Lord to not lay this sin to their charge?
Well, he sat back down.
He sat back down. Okay, that's true.
And then he raised up Paul.
And then he raised up Paul. You know what Paul did? He continues the witness of the apostles. I asked you this a couple of weeks ago, maybe longer, is why raise up Paul to be a witness? The apostles and those followers, they witnessed in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. That was their sequence. Here they are in Jerusalem, And the leadership is not allowing them to even get past Jerusalem. And Stephen's full of the Holy Ghost. He's saying, in essence, Lord, give them a further opportunity to repent. And they've showed him through Christ's earthly ministry. We don't want him. Now he's resurrected. And through the apostles and the Holy Ghost, they're saying, no, we don't want him. Right? We don't want him. And so now here's Paul. And what Paul does is continues a witness. And he goes to the unsaved Jews and Gentiles alike, offering repentance to all. So let's go over to, and as Paul begins, go over to Acts 13. As Paul is separated and he begins his work with Barnabas, the Holy Ghost separating work with Barnabas. In Acts 13, verse 45, or verse, Acts 13, verse 41. Acts 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things for which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. What do you call something that's spoken of in the prophets?
Prophecy.
A prophecy. All right. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying that I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. So Paul and Barnabas, they're continuing this witness, and the Jews are continuing their opposition and their blasphemy. They're continuing to oppose those things, judging themselves unworthy of everlasting life and worthy of judgment. Acts chapter 15. We know that Paul, as he's going through his ministry, being an apostle, he's still displaying the signs, miracles, and wonders. Those things validate that God is working with this man. So he's presenting to them with the signs, miracles, and wonders, a chance for salvation or judgment, deliverance or judgment. Acts chapter 15. Now this is after Peter has his experience with Cornelius, which was accompanied with tongues, with the signs. Peter could see through the truth that the Lord showed him that the Gentiles were being accepted, that the Gentiles were being offered repentance unto life. The Jews called him on the carpet. The scripture said they contended with him, saying, you went in to these uncircumcised men. And Peter said, let's look at that. Acts chapter 10, start at verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So the Jews there, they see this witness. They see the miraculous demonstration among the Gentiles, this is not only a sign of acceptance with the Gentiles, but it's a sign of the judgment that's beginning to be instituted on the unbelieving Jews. Acts 11, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying in a trance. I saw in a vision a certain vessel descend as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fasted mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And you know the rest of it. Verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, Gentiles, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could
withstand God
when they heard these things? Now, here's what the Jews that were being witnessed to in the Acts period, the unbelieving Jews, here's what their response should have been. When they heard these things, then they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. That should have been, number one, these were believers, so they had already responded positively. So when the offer was extended to Gentiles, then they should have been just like this. Not forbidding them to speak to the Gentiles, not being moved with envy and jealousy. It should have been an opportunity to say, you know, we should get in on this too. That's why Paul speaks about in Romans 11 that salvation has come upon the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. It should have been a positive response. They should have been recognized that the opportunity was not just theirs. And it had been extended. So back 18, Acts 18. I'm doing this for time. I've lost a lot of time here. Paul is in Corinth now, and he's continuing his witness, and he's going to the Jew first. Why the Jew first? Because he's bringing something to an end. He's bringing an offer of repentance to them to an end. Acts 18, verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they received the word gladly, they all became believers. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Again, you see the two examples displayed, a positive response, or you see the negative response. Paul said here, your blood be upon your, you asked for this judgment. You know what happened? You know what they knew in Corinth? By that synagogue being right next to that man's house, they could see the Corinthians doing what? They can see the believing Corinthians doing what?
The signs were, it was working on them.
They saw the signs. they can only say, wow, God is over there. And then they couldn't dispute it because they can see the miraculous signs and wonders being displayed, which was to the believers over there a demonstration of salvation. But to those who opposed and rejected it, it was a demonstration of the judgment for them.
And it hardened their heart. The word hardened their heart.
So when you get to Acts 28, and just for time's sake, when you get to Acts 28, do you notice after Acts 28, when Paul says the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles and they will hear it? After Acts 28, you don't see the same miraculous signs and wonders being displayed in the ministry of Paul. And I would say to you, it's not because something new is started. It's because the witness, that Holy Ghost witness and offering of repentance, has ended for those Jews.
The sign nation.
And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says the Jews require a sign. The Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. If you look at Corinthians, the most gifts, the problem with the gifts were concentrated in the Corinthian church. And in Corinthians, Paul said this, when they were having a problem about speaking in tongues and all the gifts, they were being carnal believers. They were caught up in the activity and not the reason for the activity. They were caught up in the gifts, not the purpose of the gifts. That's why today believers, you know, believers who insist on the gifts are still active. They're caught up in the activity of the gift, but not the reason why the gifts were there in the first place. They were assigned to Israel, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 13, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, being captivated with the gifts, he says, prophecies will fail. Tongues will cease. Knowledge shall vanish away. All these three things have something in common. They are God presenting information to the hearer. Information, in this sense, it's a presentation, either a rejection of the word or an acceptance of the word. The prophecies prophesy of something that is to come. Just like we read back in Acts, Paul said this, Well spake the Holy Ghost, by Isaiah the prophet. He said that you were going to hear something one day and you wouldn't believe it, and you would suffer the consequences of it. Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Tongues are for a sign to them that believe. To them that believe, what were tongues a sign of?
God was present. God was
judgment.
That God, right, that God had offered salvation to some, and those who didn't believe, they can see they weren't in that group. It was an offer. It was a verification of judgment or deliverance. Knowledge. What's the opposite of knowledge?
Ignorance.
So if a hearer of the gospel rejected the knowledge, Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 14, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But If any man be
ignorant, let him be ignorant.
Let him be ignorant. So all these things deal with the presentation of the word of God. So when Paul says when the prophecy is fulfilled, we don't need to hear that prophecy anymore. When the tongues have accomplished their purpose, we don't need those tongues anymore. And when the knowledge has served its purpose, whether it's accepted or rejected, we don't need that knowledge anymore. Now, all these are supernatural gifts, and the supernatural gifts are related to the nation Israel. These three things, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, this word is established. What word is that? The blindness of Israel. When Paul says in Acts 28:28, the salvation, Christ, is sent to the Gentiles, they have concluded themselves in unbelief, the Jews. That's why he ends up in Rome. He can't go any farther than that. He begins in Jerusalem, Romans 15, verse 16. Paul is saying, this is about the grace that's given unto me, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I make glory through Jesus Christ and those things which pertain to God, for I would not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand, for which cause I have been much hindered from coming to you. So you can see where Paul is writing to the Romans, saying the same thing that he was doing in the book of Acts, was ministering the gospel of God, demonstrating the signs, miracles, and wonders, preaching the gospel of Christ, and hoping that those who didn't hear would hear, those who didn't see would see, and that the Holy Ghost would be an effective witness, that the witness of the Holy Ghost would be received positively. Paul said, that's my ministry. But he goes to the Jews in God's great long-suffering and mercy. He gives those Jews, even after they have considered themselves unworthy through the witness of Stephen, he still gives them an opportunity, and they prove their blindness. They prove their blindness and rejection and worthy of judgment. They prove it through the book of Acts. Romans 11. Paul talks about magnifying his office among the Gentiles. Romans 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That, what's the next word?
Blindness.
That blindness, in part, is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That blindness, in part, has happened to Israel. First Corinthians and Romans, they were written right at the end of the Acts period. So when you get towards Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, when you see all those books afterwards, that's why you don't see those miraculous gifts being demonstrated, because Paul is not offering any change of mind to the nation. The Holy Ghost is done witnessing to them. It's been completed. That witness has been rejected, done and over with, and they've proved it. So you don't need those signs, miracles, and wonders, because something has been completed. That rejection has been completed, and so has the witness. Remember, I told you that the book of Acts was a witness of the Holy Ghost from start to finish. That's what you see there is a whether those people receive that witness positively or negatively. And Paul said now that this witness, the Jewish witness, is over, and now it's going over to the Gentiles, and that witness continues to this day. That long-suffering witness continues to this day. And our question today is, what are we doing with that witness, with the Holy Ghost witness, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in? Paul answers that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He talks about what the Gentile response is going to be to the Holy Ghost witness, that they're going to profess the power of God, but they're going to deny the power of it. We can see now that the Holy Ghost witness for us in this day, is it positive? Do you think it's a positive response?
Excuse me, where is that verse at?
2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse, 2 Timothy chapter, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I said 4, 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read that and close out with that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What's the power of godliness?
Christ in you, the Holy Spirit working through you.
Yes, the power of godliness is it produces God-like behavior. The power of godliness is you can see the things of God. You can say, it's not my will, it's His will. But you see all those traits in the above verses. He says, this is what you'll see. They have a form of godliness. That's just like Matthew 23, where those Jews, they dressed the part, they spoke the part, but what they wanted things that elevated themselves. They wanted things that glorified themselves. They wanted approval, not from God, but from their peers. They had the key of knowledge, but they didn't use it. They didn't study it. They didn't teach it. They distorted it. They hoarded it. And when a godly man came along, or godly men came along, what did they do? Embrace them? Accompany them? Encourage them?
Reject them?
They opposed them and fought them. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep in the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So the godly witness Paul is speaking about here, you'll see that it's a godly title, but it's ungodly behavior.
Hey, Frank.
Yes.
It occurred to me as you were reading that, where it talked about, okay, well, you said, I'm sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. Okay, well, it says ever learning, never coming to a knowledge of the truth, resist the truth. And he's talking about what the church will be like in the last days. And I think about that verse where it says God's will is that all men might be saved and come into a knowledge of the truth. So you're missing that second part.
I'm not following you.
You're not following. Okay, so in the last days, all these descriptions are behaviors of.
Oh, yes, yes.
In the church.
Yes.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it and resisting the truth. And I think, okay, this is in the church, so God's will is that all men might be saved and coming to a knowledge of the truth.
I got you. Yeah. I got you. Yes. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. And we'll stop after this. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is
after godliness.
That means the truth promotes godliness. When you acknowledge the truth, it promotes godliness in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. And then he goes on. But the acknowledging of the truth, it leads to godliness. So, yes, salvation, that's the beginning. But acknowledging the truth is what comes after that. That's the next step. That's the power. So what we'll do is pick back up again in Romans next week. We left a few things unsaid, but I hope you understand my point about what the end of Acts was, not the beginning of the body of Christ. It was the end of the witness to the unbelieving Jews, and they finally concluded themselves in unbelief, and that salvation was sent to the Gentiles, and Paul said, and they will hear it. That's why the post-Acts epistles of Paul has a different flavor to them. It's not because something new is beginning. It's because something else has ended. And that is that witness to the Jews with the being accompanied by the signs, miracles, and wonders. So all the Jews that got in through the Acts period, through all the way up to Acts 28:28, all those Jews that got in. Because of the long suffering that they responded to. And all that didn't, 1 Thessalonians. I said this is the last one. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus, the Jews, and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the
uttermost.
There was a point where that rejection hit the peak. That's why the Lord told Paul to get out of Jerusalem. They will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And everywhere else he went, he had a split decision until those acts were finished in Acts 28:28. So, well, we'll stop there. Let's close out in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to sit down and look into these things together. We pray, as always, for more enlightenment and understanding as we read these things and believe these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.